Well, in any event, we're in Psalm 128 today on Father's Day. And today we're going to look at this. It's only six verses, so hopefully we'll be done here at a good time today. That's the goal here as well with these six verses. But although it's six verses, I will tell you the wisdom of God is beyond our finite understanding, his infinite wisdom. Amen. So while this is six verses, it is packed. It is packed with information. So we're going to look at today the blessings of God. First off, you'll see there in verse 1, it says, blessed is everyone. So while this is applies to everybody, we're going to look at it also goes into, kind of narrows down a little bit into the Father's role. In this passage, you might see, your Bible should say above verse 1, a song of ascents. There's about 15 of these in a row. This is about the eighth or ninth one. I should have counted them, but I didn't. But it's about the middle somewhere. As people were going to Jerusalem as families on holy days and holidays and special events and gatherings, these are songs they would sing while they're headed there. And these songs of ascents, as they're ascending up towards Jerusalem, the family units would sing these songs together as a family and just kind of look at and learn from the Lord the wisdom of these psalms. We don't know who wrote these. You know, normally we say David wrote the psalms. That one's not indicated in this passage, so we don't know that. Doesn't matter, though, because I always say, ultimately, the Holy Spirit of God wrote these. So as they're going along the road, they're headed towards Jerusalem, much like even today. I don't know about you, but sometimes do your Mondays, you know, you've got 50 days in the month, 30 hours in a day, and you're just not time to, you're just grasping. Well, as they were walking along these roads towards Jerusalem, they would have time to slow down. I like Sundays a lot because it is a time we can slow down. And a little bit of the pressures and demands of the world and on our time, it seems it takes kind of a better of a back seat than it does on Monday morning. I think I read somewhere that the most heart attacks in America happen on Monday morning. You know, as people getting up and starting the week is just sometimes overwhelming. So they would be on the road singing these songs and slowing down in their lives. And I hope that's what we do today as well, as we listen to what the Lord has to tell us. And in this first passage we're looking at today, these six verses, what is the key to these blessings of God? What is the key that we have access to? You might say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but I don't really feel the blessing of the Lord. Well, maybe you're not applying these keys to put yourself in that blessing. I believe I had heard some years ago, I was going to look this up this week and I didn't, but as I recall in the New Testament where the Beatitudes, where Jesus says, blessed is the man, blessed, 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 that word makarios was a Greek island. And that word came into the vocabulary of the day. And on this island is where the Greeks believed the gods were. And if you got on a ship and went through the oceans and suffered all the ravages of winds and waves and got yourself on that island, you put yourself in the place of receiving a blessing from those gods that were on that island. Now that, well, that's just nonsense to us from that Greek perspective, but the principle I would say is accurate. You can put yourself where you have more potential for God's blessings, what we would call blessings, and you can put yourself in a place where you can get less of those, what we would call blessings. Now, mind you, discipline is a blessing. We don't always associate the discipline as a blessing. Discipline is a blessing. I would much rather get the positive blessings than the negative blessings. I would rather get the good things of the Lord and peace and joy in my heart and just a tranquility and peace in my life. Those are the good blessings, joy and happiness and all those things we want from the Lord. While discipline is also a blessing, sometimes you're going through those valleys and you are not happy about them. But I want to be careful what I say there is that both of those are blessings if you're a child of God. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So if you are disciplined, that is love. That is love. That's not, I used to say there's a huge difference between punishment and wrath, which is in store for those that are not believers, versus discipline and love. I would much rather get discipline and love than punishment and wrath. But God's going to give those to everyone at one day. You want to be in the column that says, I get the love of God, even if it's a discipline. So verse 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. So this covers all people. Oh, I am pressing the buttons. This covers... Okay, I'm going to have to someone back there move me forward. There we go. Our God is a God who blesses. Now, I said a moment ago, there is general blessing that God gives to everybody. You know, there's unsaved people in the world that they still get sunshine. They still get to taste garlic mashed potatoes and ribeye steaks. They still get tomatoes and they plant stuff. There's general blessings that God gives to everyone because we have a God who blesses. God is in the blessing business. In Matthew 5:45 tells us he causes his son, this is God, God causes his son to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So God blesses everybody. But there are unique blessings that are reserved for his children. Well, I would hope that everyone in here says, I wish that every child in the world went to bed at night in a bed with a roof over their head, with electricity and food in their stomach. Well, we would hope that for every child. We take a different posture when it comes to our child. We work to ensure that our child has those things. While we wish it for others, they may or may not have that. But our children do, and God's kind of in that similar vein there. He says that everyone's blessed, but for my children, there's even more blessings. So he does cause the rain to go on the just and the unjust. He has the sun rise on the just and the unjust. But verse 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. This fearing the Lord is a different, I want to really drive this point home. Fearing the Lord is this sense of, yes, I say it is a bit of a fear of a, I better be on my P's and Q's and I should walk accordingly or there may be that discipline coming that we talked about. But it's also this notion of like a reverent, holy submission to God's will. I'm afraid if I'm not pleasing the Lord. A couple weeks ago, we did a psalm that said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Since we did that psalm about 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, I can't remember where in the last month, that's been kind of one of more my prayers that I've been praying more recently in the last month or two. When I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, let every word that comes out of my mouth today, let every thought, let every meditation of my heart, and I've added, a couple days ago I added, it's not scriptural, but I think it's appropriate, and let the work of my hands, let the deeds that I do, let my words, my thoughts, and my work, let all of these things be pleasing in your sight. And folks, I'll tell you, I've been praying that for about a month now. I've not made a day yet that I can say at the end of the day, I'll review when I go to bed at night. In the morning I get up, I'll lay in bed and I'll start praying. I'll go to bed at night and say, Lord, was every word and every thought and every deed, please? No, it wasn't. At 2 o'clock today, I said this, or I thought that, or somebody cut me off in traffic and my anger flared up, or, something. So I'm telling you, folks, it's hard to walk that perfect walk. And I even have been very specifically focused on that. Lord, is every word and every thought and every work, every deed pleasing? And I've yet to find a day that I can say everything I thought, said, and did was perfectly in alignment with my Holy Father. So folks, I encourage you as you read this to really start getting down very closely, as it says here, I want to nail this home, who fears the Lord. I am growing in my fear, not what God will do to me necessarily, but what I will do to him. What will I cause him grief with me? Will I cause his anger or his discipline to come to me? It's not so much what I'm going to change him with my sin. It's what am I going to affect him? What does my sin affect him? Does it break his heart? And I think if we'll come and try to worship and obey the Lord in that humble context, I think it will help you in the day to be maybe before you say something, have the Holy Spirit maybe catch you or guard you and guard your tongue and guard your mind. The scripture tells us, let us have the mind of Christ. We've been looking at that in Philippians a few weeks ago in Bible study. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Folks, if we had the mind of Christ, we would have perfect thoughts. Jesus never sinned with a word. He never sinned with a thought. He never sinned with an action. For 33 years, he walked perfectly. I've determined I can't do that for 24 hours, which tells me I desperately am in need of a holy Father. I'm desperately in need of mercy and grace every day. I put that verse a few days ago on social media. Great is thy faithfulness. It is because of the Lord's great mercy we are not consumed. They are new every morning. And that verse has much more impact now that I've really been working on. Lord, give me, you know what? I'm fairly good when I'm sleeping. When I'm sleeping, I'm fairly good. Although I woke up a few times, so that dream, boy, I killed three people last night by the, you know, and I know who they are, you know. So I don't know if that counts or not. But even in my sleep, sometimes I'll have thoughts. You know, I'll wake up with a dream. Ooh, that wasn't, in sleep I'm sinning. My thoughts go to that guy that cut me off in traffic. Yeah. The guy that got the last donut, the last Bavarian cream donut, as I was reaching for it. Yeah. Yeah. Stacy's one of my best friends because Stacy doesn't eat donuts, so I wish we had more Stacy's in the building. But so blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. If anyone that says, Lord, I'm going to walk according to your precepts and your commands, if you follow that, you will be blessed. And it says, who walks in his ways. And I couldn't help but read this verse, chapter 128, verse 1, and not think of Psalm 1:1. It said, again, the word blessed. In these six verses, you're going to see the word blessed or happy. One of the verses uses the word happy. It's actually the verse for blessed. So it uses it four times in these six verses, blessed. So this chapter is here a chapter of blessing, these six verses. But Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or take a seat with the scoffers. And we've said that when 4, 5, 6 months ago we did Psalm 1:1. And there's a progression there. Blessed is the one who does not walk their livelihood, their way of action. Blessed is the one that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. When things come along, do they look at the scriptures or do they look at what someone's got a good, clever argument? Are you listening to those people of the world that have good, clever philosophies that will lead you astray? Because it says if you listen to them, it won't be long before you're standing with them. Now you're not just walking by listening to them. Now you're like, hey, I've taken their side on this stuff. They're right. God's word is not really necessarily right. These principles aren't right. This person made a really clever argument. I listened to it. I put that in my brain. Now I'm going to start standing with them. And then it says, not before too long, then you're sitting with the scoffers, those that mock God and Christians. It won't be too long if you walk with them and you stand with them before you're sitting with them. And it all starts at that first step. You start listening to what they have to say. That soundtrack gets in your head, that voice gets in your head of, that makes sense to me. You know where the first sin started? Eve, if you'll just look at that apple, you'll be wise. You'll be like God. That sounds good. I like the way that sounds. I'll be just like God. You'll be wise. I like being wise. It's good for food. Look how good it is. You can taste it and eat it. All that was true. But she started listening to the devil. She started walking in the counsel of the ungodly one. And before you knew it, she took and ate. Look at the tragedy that came from that. She had God's word. She twisted it up a little bit, but we know she had a degree of, did God really say you shouldn't touch it? He didn't say you can't touch it, you can't eat it. But I will tell you, it's best not to even touch it. Don't even get involved in it. I said a couple months ago about the real rich guy that had a big, Elon Musk has a way up a mansion up on top of the mountains. Trillionaire, wow. And he's looking for a driver, and the first driver says, I'm so good, I can get with the foot of the edge of the mountain coming down the mountain pass, and I won't crash. And the next guy says, that's nothing. I get within about 3 inches of the edge, and I won't go, I'm a really good driver, I know right where that tire is. He asked the third driver, how good are you? I'm a good driver, but I'm going to stay as far away from the edge as possible. Who do you think got the job? The guy that says, I'm not going to get over there on the edge of that dangerous area. I'm such a good driver, I want to stay away from the edge. Folks, we should be like that with sin. Oh, let's just go and hang out with these people that are doing this. We're not just like that. We're going to hang out with them and visit with them and listen to them and hear their arguments that are contrary to the scriptures, but it won't affect me. Yes, it will. It will 100% affect you. You cannot work in the mud and not expect to get dirty. That prodigal son, when he was with the pig pens, do you think he was muddy? And maybe worse than mud in a pig pen. But praise God, something came in his head that said, I might be in the pig pen with these pigs, but I'm not a pig. I'm a child of my father. And it says it came to his mind. Praise God, we have a Father whose mercies are new every morning. And even we step off in the world and in the mud and in the pig pen, that Holy Spirit taps us on the shoulder and says, this isn't where you belong. Folks, I'm encouraging you, don't go down that road. It's a hard road. I said in Bible study today about this young guy I mentioned last week who has really been on my heart. He's probably about 30-some years old now, 30-something. 17, commits murder, gets a 60-year sentence in prison. He said what took literally less than a second to pull a trigger took 60 years of my life. Less than 1 second of listening to the devil has robbed me of 60 years of my life here on earth. 1 second. Now, you might say that's an extreme case, and I wouldn't argue with you. But, folks, 1 second can drastically change your future. A few moments of sin is never worth what's going to happen down the road. How long did it take Eve, do you think, to bite into that apple? How long before she took it to Adam? And so she gave it to Adam, who's there with her, and he ate also. 2 minutes, maybe? 90 seconds? From that 90 seconds of two people sinning, is there troubles in the world today because of it? Is there a world of trouble from 90 seconds of sin? Folks, that's how serious this is. It is a serious matter. It's so serious. You know, Satan has a plan for every one of your souls and every one of your lives and every one of your days. And you know, God has a plan too for every one of your souls and every one of your days. These two beings, God's supreme being, Lucifer, Satan, a lower being, both of them are going on a war over you. A hostile, hot war is going on right now in the spiritual realm. Every day, every moment, and there's times we say, I'm on the Lord's side, choose this day whom you'll serve. As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's times every one of us walk over the enemy and give them aid and abet them and aid them. Why do we do that? Because we're sinners, that's why. But the word here says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who submits to his will. Blessed is everyone who hears from the Lord and obeys him. And who walks in his ways. We not only hear the words, you heard my prayer today. I said, Lord, let not these words just be informational. Let them be transformational. Let us leave here today with, you know what? I'm going to work on these next 24 hours to live a holy life. I'm going to work on every word that comes out of my mouth. I'm going to run it by the filter. Is this pleasing to my Father in heaven? Every thought in my head, when it comes in, Lord, is this thought pleasing to you right now, what I'm thinking? He knows what you're thinking, by the way. Is every action I do, is this action pleasing to God? And if there's a word that comes out, you say, this is not really pleasing. This is not edifying the body. This is not lifting up or encouraging. It's actually tearing down. Then keep those words to yourself. No one wants to hear them. You know, you don't got to complain to others. You can keep those words to yourself. Yes, I know sometimes we vent, we get it out. But be careful with those words. I would much rather use that time and energy praising God versus complaining about the world. But I know we're humans and we're going to. But start running through those screens of thought process. Is this pleasing to my Father? It says, everyone who fears the Lord will be blessed, everyone who walks in his ways. So that's the scope of who God wants to bless. What's the fourth word in that first verse? Blessed is, actually the third word, blessed is, God wants to bless everybody. And the key is fear him and obey him. I think it's Ecclesiastes 12:13. I'm almost sure it's Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says the whole duty of man, when Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, wisest man that ever walked the earth, said, God, what would you have me do? The whole duty, all you're required to do is fear God and keep his commands. Fear him and obey him. That's our whole duty in life. Right here in Psalm 128, verse 1, fear the Lord and obey him. Walk in his ways. Do you wish Adam and Eve would not have eaten that apple? Do you wish they would have walked in the word and obedience to the Lord? I do. Now, I've said before, and I do believe this very sincerely, July 14th, 1964, sin entered the world. That was my birthday. If you're wondering what day that was, because I know who I am, and I know there's what's right and wrong, and there's times I choose wrong. So even if Adam and Eve would have been perfect, and all y'all would have been perfect, I know who I am. And there's times I chose sin, knowing it was sin. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Yeah. I mean, that's really at the end of the, that's, I don't even know what to say about it. That's God, I got to praise you simply because your mercies are new every morning. And I need them every morning. Every morning I wake up, Lord, it's another day. So that's the scope of the blessing is everyone. And then there's three things here that God tells us going to happen. And they're not in order of importance, but they are, it's in our work. Let me finish this. Psalm 145:9 says, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. I have some English Mastiff dogs at the house, and I give them treats. Well, you give them a treat, their tails go 1,000 miles an hour. God gave them those treats, you know. They love it. They'll knock. You can't put anything on a counter this lower than this because their tails will knock it off, though. We had a dog a couple years ago. Kelly made some chocolate chip cookies and put them out on the counter and said, what happened to all those cookies? I looked over at Gunner, and he was very happy with those cookies. He had every one of them. But God's good to all that he makes. Everything he makes, all creation, God says, I want to be good to everything I've made. Because, you know, back in Genesis 1, it said, God said, God saw, and God said it was good. And God said, and God saw, and God declared it good. All through chapter 1 of Genesis, God said, God saw, and God declared it good. I'll tell you, if you ever study that Genesis 1:1, we've been doing it on Wednesday nights. We started in Genesis 1:1. Now we're on Genesis, I think, 45 or 46. We've gone through the whole book of Genesis. But, you know, the problem there started with, and God is showing us this pattern. God said, God saw, God said it was good. Evil came in. If you read that closely, it says, Eve saw the apple. Eve said, it is good for food. Eve said, it's good. The issue is who gets to declare what's good, God or us? I hope we would say it's God. So when God says something, we should say what God says is good. What my brain tells me is probably not. If my brain tells me something conflicting with God's word, God is right and I am wrong. That's this fearing the Lord and walking in his ways. And then verse 2 says about our labors. Let me finish this. God blesses his children even more than general blessings. There's specific revelations to his children. And if you look at James 1:7, you may not see it at first glance, but it says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. So now in reference, not just that he's God, Elohim, or the Lord, Jehovah, now it's calling him Father. So he's very good to his children. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. I want to be clear on this too. There's a lot of nonsense in our culture today saying everyone is a child of God. How's that fly with Scripture? Can anyone think of a verse? Only those that call on his name have the right to be called the children of God. Only those that call on his name have the right to be called the children of God. So while everyone is a creation of God, and he is good to all of his creation, he does have compassion on all he has made. He does want everyone to come to Christ. He does want everyone to come to salvation. So he's good to everyone, but his special blessings come when we know him as Father. There's even more blessings than general blessings. Do you know, with the unsaved world, they will never walk the streets of heaven. God's children will. The unsaved world will never have eternity with Christ. The saved will. There's more blessings to his children than the unsaved. While the unsaved still enjoy blessings here on earth, when they die, what happens to them? What blessings happen to them then? I said about a year ago or so, you know, if you're a believer and you're living, you know, you're obviously alive now, this time, this 2026 or June, the times you're going through here on earth, this fleeting time, man's life is but a vapor, you know these, if you're a believer, this is the worst days you will ever have for all eternity. Amen. This is the worst. We're going to Sawgrass Steakhouse today for Father's Day. That's the worst compared to heaven it is. So our eternal, nothing gets better. If the unsaved, what are these days for them? Yeah. Our worst days as children of God are the best days for the unsaved. Right. You know what a blessing that is to say this is the worst it gets? We're sitting in air conditioning today. I was in prison this week, and they were saying how miserable they are. And I said, 200 years ago, which kings of the universe had air conditioning? The richest men in the world, did they have refrigeration and air conditioning and electricity? Could they turn a light on and have... No. So you're living better than 5,000 years of humanity here in prison. You're living better than the richest people of all world for thousands of years, and you're complaining. All we get is beans and rice and junk and mystery meat. I said, you know how many people in the world would be happy with three meals a day of beans and rice? I know we don't think about that very often, but there's people I know in the world that say, I'd be very happy with three guaranteed meals of beans and rice every day. Be very happy with that. Some people don't get that. I want to get back to our lesson here. Sorry, I was just going down the road there. But it's so in verse 2, it says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. So we have so these verses here are blessings in our work, blessings in our home, and blessings in our nation. And the blessings in our work, as I said, verse 2, I'll come back to this, yeah. Blessing 2 says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. Now remember back in Genesis when God said to Adam, because you sinned, you have to work still. Well, you'll eat by what? By the sweat of your brow. Work will be hard. We plant tomatoes and okra and squash. Kelly, what, you said the other day you planted squash and got a cantaloupe somehow? I don't know how that happened, but didn't look like a squash. Squashalope. We had squashalope. But in any event, you know, in our garden, in our backyard, raised gardens, Kelly put raised gardens in, we've never planted weeds. Never. Guess what pops up? The weeds pop up automatically. That's the world we live in. We live in a fallen world. So you got to work to get the squashalope, and you got to work hard to get those tomatoes. Well, I should say, Kelly has to work hard to get those cantaloupes, and Kelly has to work hard to get those squashalopes and squash and onions and tomatoes and all that produce from the backyard. Weeds just come naturally. That's the world we live in. But we have a father that says here, you'll be happy when you do your work. I think I wrote on a slide or two up here, you have enjoyment in your employment. And work isn't miserable when you're a child of the king. And we're going to say why in just a moment. I did put these verses up here. I want to address these real quickly. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. That word beginning means first in order. It is sequentially first. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we start getting facts. When our youth go back and our children go back there, Christine said, I'm teaching them facts about the Bible. As you age and grow, not chronologically, but spiritually, as you get more wise, you'll start seeing how these facts of the Bible and how the ways of the Lord, how to correctly apply them to your life. That's where the word wisdom comes in. I could read all about a skateboard and where they were started and how they formed into the history of skateboarding and the great skateboarders. That's not stepping on a skateboard, though. You can know everything there is about a skateboard knowledge, but till you've stepped on a skateboard and ridden it, you don't know about riding skateboards. And that's true in a lot of things. You can know about paintbrushes and an easel and the canvas. You can know all that stuff. You're probably not going to paint a Rembrandt. So the correct application of the knowledge, that's where wisdom comes in then. I know it, and that's where I think a lot of Christians are today. A lot of Christians have knowledge of God and knowledge of God's ways, but they don't apply that to their own life. I know this, I know this, I know this. Do you live this? No. I live how I want. And if you're suffering as a Christian, or you say, well, my life as a Christian doesn't have the joy of the Lord, I don't have the joy in my life as a Christian, it could be because you're not applying these things you know properly to your life. You have knowledge without wisdom. Satan knows everything in this book. Guess where he's headed? For all eternity. The knowledge of this isn't where the joy comes in, the obedience. Blessed is the man who walks, lives these things. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so that's where Proverbs 9:10, it changes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. And this word beginning in English is the same word. It is a different word. It's a prerequisite. We're not just saying first, second, third. We're saying this is required. You could say this kid came in first, second, and third. But it wasn't necessarily that the first kid came in first for the requirement of the second person and the third person. It was just first in order. Proverbs 9:10 in English is the same word beginning, but in Hebrew it's a different word. It says the fear of the Lord. Until you say, I know these things, and now I'm going to apply them to my life properly. Why? Because I fear the Lord. I have a reverent desire to submit to him. I have a holy desire to submit. That's not where the wisdom comes in. Now you start applying the things you know of God to your life. That's different than just knowing. So the knowledge of someone saying, I'm going to sit down and learn what God has to tell me, that's a fear of the Lord for knowledge. The fear of the Lord for wisdom, you've got to say, now I want to apply this to my life. It's a prerequisite. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding in Proverbs 9:10. So those two verses really do speak two different issues. One's the knowledge of it. One is, do I apply it correctly? And again, I believe there's many Christians I talk to full well have the knowledge. They're deep in the Word. Unfortunately, the Word's not deep in them. And that's a different mindset. That's a, do I apply this properly? Am I living at my job that's honoring the Lord? Am I living in my household in a way that's honoring to the Lord? Am I living it when I go to the grocery store in a way that honors the Lord? Because I want to just not know how to honor him. I want to actually obey him. Next. Can you get me, figure out wherever I'm and put it on the slide, please. I'm not going to touch anymore. We, you know, folks, we're going to have to do something differently with this. This is after a year, my frustration levels, but I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord, not say anything. You just saw it live in action. Next slide, please. Whoever's got the controllers back there. This one's no longer working at all. One more. Blessing your work. A reverent submission to God's word. You'll eat the fruit of your hands and you'll be happy. God gives it. Okay, next slide. God gives you enjoyment in your employment. Colossians 3:23. And this is why we want to be joyful in our work and in our employment. Because you're not working for that human being. This says whatever you do, whatever your job is, work at it with all your heart as working as unto the Lord. Not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So he says, your area of employment, you should go to your area of employment and be the most joyful person there. God bless you today. How's it going? You should have enjoyment in your employment. And we say, why are you so happy? I'm a believer. You know how easy, now you know, if your jobs, I get it. You may not be able to do a lot of proselyting or witnessing depending on your job, but you can be showing people the joy of the Lord in your life at your job. And I'm not working here as under my boss for a paycheck. I'm working here. God put me in this location to bloom where he's planted me. And then if you think back in Psalm 1:1, it says, the man that walks in the way of the Lord and meditates on his law, he is like someone that is planted by the streams of living water. Planted implies a gardener. It implies that you're not a wild bush or a wild tree, but you're a harvested and specific planted by a gardener tree. The person that meditates on the word of the Lord and thinks about it day and night, that person is like someone planted by streams of water, whose their fruit comes forward in its season, their leaf does not wither, they are a constant wellspring of life in Psalm 1:1. So we work as unto the Lord, not as unto our earthly bosses. And it will change your enjoyment. I'm doing this, I don't want to do this, I'm doing this because it's pleasing to my Father. I'm going to behave in my area of my life of employment in a way that's honoring to God. Next. I'll just start saying next. Next. Blessings in your home. Verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the heart of your house, in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants around your table. So in our family life, so in our work life, you can be blessed. In your family life, your wife will be a fruitful vine. Yes, generally that implies fruitfulness with children, but a couple of things I want to make here. Fruitfulness and happiness, fruitful in service, fruitful in joy. It says your home life will be a joyful place to be. Your wife or your, we'll go as far as to say your spouse, it'll be a joyful home. Your children, now a vine grows quickly. Every spring we get those dewberry vines. We love those dewberries, the wild ones. The vines grow quickly and produce fruit quickly. Olive plants An olive tree may take 7 to 10 years before it produces anything. It's interesting that it says your wife is like a vine that quickly produces fruit. Your children's going to take a while. When mine get there, I'll let you know. But sorry, they're both here today. So I ask your forgiveness. Let the words of my mouth be pleasing. But an olive plant takes about 7 to 10 years to produce fruit. So I tell you, if your kids aren't where you want them, and I am very, very thankful God gave me my two daughters. I've said for many years that I used to pray for sons, and God gave me better than I asked for. He gave me daughters. That's true, too. I believe that. And so your children will be like olive plants. So it might take a while. And the scripture tells us that. It says that a train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. The scripture does understand there's a season. So mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, if you're watching at home, if you're struggling, if you're in that window, that season now of struggle, God's faithful. You know how I know he's faithful? I've got two proofs right here. They're sitting in church today on Father's Day. And Kat will have I was in her car a week or two ago, or a month or so ago. I saw your Bible in your notes. And she drives around with her Bible in her car and puts notes in there. And a couple months ago, she called me, "Hey, Dad, I'm sitting out here by the pond up at the farm, and I was going through this Bible verse, and what's this and what's that?" And I love having those conversations with my children. Those are delightful to me because it's God is faithful. God is faithful. Your children, like, so your employment life, your work life, vines produce fruit quickly. Olive trees take years before they're fruitful. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, trust the Lord. I think I told, was it Jerry, when he came in today, I said, "Jerry, I just want to wish you a happy great, 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 great grandfather's day." So, but just keep holding on. Keep having faith. The Lord's faithful. Next. Not there. A little too far. Next. Okay. I want to talk about, we'll close with this one. This is Joseph. And there's like, I've got like 18 slides running like six, so we're not going to get through this today. But I'm going to, I think we were in Genesis, we've been going through the life of Joseph. Joseph, I love, you know, one of these days I want to do it, maybe on a Sunday morning, a life study of Joseph. And there's a one thing I was reading, I was looking up some studies on this. There's a book, I think, I haven't got it, I'd like to maybe get it, but it says Joseph in the pit, in the prison, in the palace. But in every area you see Joseph, almost every utterance of his mouth, he talks about God. And Joseph always has, for years, has been a very interesting figure for me in the Bible, because I can find absolutely zero negative anything, even a hint of any negative about Joseph, and the other one is Daniel. Those two in the Bible, I can find not even a hint of sin. Now, we know they're sinners because the Word tells us all have sinned. But for whatever reason, God said on these, I'm not going to list anything at all of what they did. David, do we have some sins of David? Solomon? The Bible talks a lot of these great men of the faith. Abraham, Cain, Adam, a lot of them, their sin. Noah, drunk naked after the flood. A lot of them have, Lot, incest with his daughters. We have all kinds of sin of all kinds of people in the Bible. Joseph and Daniel, I've yet to find a single even hint of impropriety about them. So that's why I say I find it very interesting. But what I do see as we're studying this today about the words being pleasing to God, when the brothers throw them in the pit, you don't hear them cursing and yelling and cussing them out. When they sell them into slavery into Potiphar's house, remember Potiphar, his wife made a play on Joseph and said, "Come lie with me." And he said, "Why would I do this? My master Potiphar has put me over all of his household. Why would I do this sin against God?" He doesn't say against Potiphar. He says, if I do this deed, this will be against God. Joseph had a fear of God. He said, God said, don't do this. So why would I do this to Potiphar? And why would I sin against God? And then when his brothers come in and he reveals himself to his brothers, that's a great point there too. We've been studying on Wednesday night. He says, what you cause for evil, do you know the next word? God caused for good. So he's meeting his brothers. You hear him talking about God. When they said, Joseph, you have the ability, the discernment to tell dreams. Dreams belong to God. The interpretation of dreams don't belong to Joseph. The interpretations of dreams belong to God. When Pharaoh brought him in and said, I've had a dream. Tell me what this means. And he says about the seven cows and the grain, the withered grains. He says, God has showed you what he's going to do. So it's interesting, almost every utterance you see out of Joseph's mouth, he invokes God. And it's interesting, that's the person that God has nothing ever to say negative about him in the Bible. Is he a sinner? Yes, he's a human being. God said, but that's not my point with Joseph. My point of Joseph is look at his life. So it'd be a good study for us to do sometime. I'll try to do one more here because we do have one more to get to next. I'm not going to touch the remote. Blessing in your nation, verse 5 and 6. If parents will raise up their kids in a godly home, if parents will be at the job site in a godly and your kids see your life, verse 5 says, the Lord bless you out of Zion. Zion's also Jerusalem. Has there been any blessings to the world that came out of Jerusalem? One of those blessings came out of a grave, the Son of God. Yeah, most of the life of Christ, what we know, that lasts about a third of the Gospels, were in Jerusalem in that final week. The blessing of Jerusalem was Jesus Christ spoke an awful lot in Jerusalem. He was put on a cross for our forgiveness of sins in Jerusalem. He came out of a grave in Jerusalem. After he came out of the grave, he went back to Jerusalem. So when the Lord blesses you out of Zion, now we're almost in a prophetic situation here where God says there's going to be a blessing come out of Zion that will bless the whole world. So the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem. Who wants to see the good of the Woodlands, Texas? Or Texas? I do. You know, we had a meeting here yesterday. It was a political event was going on, and there was some talk, and you know, some of you know I do some work, a little bit of work politically around the state. And I said, and I've heard this, and I think, were you there yesterday? Yesterday, I've told people, when I'm around the state, I hear people say things like, we can't all be Montgomery County. And I'm like, well, you're over here in El Paso or in San Antonio or Bear County or whatever counties all over Texas, there's 254 of them. But people in other places, they'll just be talking, well, boy, we wish we were like Montgomery County. Folks, God has blessed this county. He's blessed our nation more than any nation I know of. He has blessed this state. You know, half of all the jobs created in the last 10 years were created in Texas. We produce half the engine of the economy of new jobs as the other 49 combined. That's not because we're just lucky. I think it's because God has blessed this state. You know, I've heard people in other states say, you know, Texas is the Bible, the buckle of the Bible Belt. Standing, saying we're not bending, we're not changing with culture. And then of this state, of this nation, of this state, to hear people say, boy, Montgomery County, what are you guys doing down there? I think we have blessings we don't really even appreciate because to us this is normal. Oh, did y'all hear the news of the FIFA Cup, the people that came from around the world to see in Houston? And the reports are coming out, people around the world saying, we've heard about America, but having been there? Oh my goodness, they have, it's better than we heard about. I don't know if you heard these stories, but there are stories coming out from the soccer that other people from other nations that have come here to Houston are saying it is unbelievable what they have there. I have a friend from Russia. We were talking a while ago. And he said, you know, has anyone been to a bread aisle in the grocery store? How long is that aisle? Now, we're talking about bread. How many breads you got? You got wheat and white. Boy, was I wrong. There is an aisle. You can't see the end of it unless you get a telescope or something, or binoculars. Every kind of bread known to mankind. And when you look down that aisle, that bread is waiting there for you to come pick it up. And this friend of mine from Russia was saying, you know, in Russia, they got the bread store. It's 3 weeks old and stale. And we wait maybe a day or two in line to get it. In Russia, we wait for bread. In America, bread waits for you. Which blessing do you want to live under? That is a radical difference. And when the world came here and they're seeing this and the stories are coming out, wow, God has blessed America like no nation's been blessed. So folks, I say that to say when we read this verse here, the Lord bless you out of Zion, may you see the good of Jerusalem. Folks, we are living verse 5 in the Montgomery County, Texas. This is blessings here that if you travel around the world or even around the state, you will not see the blessings we have here. And it's not because of us, it's because of God's good, gracious hand. And it says, all the days of your life, yes, may you see your children's children. So it says you prolonged life. If you walk in the fear of the Lord, prolonged life. Now, I do want to say if you're single, you're not married, you don't have kids, these temporal blessings are just that. They're shadows of blessings. I've got some young men I've led to the Lord and young women. You know what's more happy? And I'm ecstatically happy with my two biological daughters. Number one, they're also my sisters in Christ, which is a blessing. But there's many children, I say, that I would call them my spiritual son in the Lord. So you might be someone that says, well, I don't have children or I don't have grandchildren. Folks, those are but shadows of the spiritual realm. God may have given you the blessing of saying, I'm going to give you the blessing of looking for the eternal blessings. Because there is a load when you have family and children. There is a load on you, a blessed load, but it's a load. And even Paul in the New Testament says, I wish all men were like me, where I'm free and footloose and fancy free. But I want to be clear, the Lord decides that. The Lord gives the decision of who's going to have family, who's going to have children, who's not. Don't think in any way, shape, or form, I don't have blessings that other people have. God has different blessings for you. So I want to be clear on that issue too. If you say, well, that's not me, just folks, don't sweat that. Focus on the eternal blessings. These are but shadows. I tell people all the time, when we're in heaven, my brother, who's a believer in Christ, I've told, and me and him, we don't say anymore, but over our life we have, there's a day when our physical relationship is going to end. One of us will leave this earth. Our spiritual relationship will never end. So if you say, well, I don't have family, yes, you do. You have a big family called the family of God. So don't worry about those. If Satan will get that in your head, well, why aren't you married? Why don't you have kids? Why don't you? Satan, I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. God, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from my Father above. God will give me what I need for the day. And if I don't have it, then that means God says I don't need it. So don't listen to that counsel of the ungodly one to put failure or frustrations or any of that nonsense in your mind. That's not what this is about. So I want to be clear on that. So when it says here, you may see your children and your children's children, if that's not you, don't worry about that. Use that time to praise God. God, you know what I need. You know what my needs are. You'll give everything I need when I need it, and I'm going to work about eternal blessings. I would encourage you, if you don't have spouse and children, work on raising up that next generation. I think it was me and Kathleen talking about it yesterday, the importance of raising up that next generation to walk godly. You know how many kids in our community don't have mom and dad? Don't have a dad that's raising them up in a godly fashion? There's a lot of them. So be that person for that kid. God might say, that's your plan. I'm using you in that capacity. Well, I do have 10 more slides here, but we're stopping there. And this week, I'm going to have our AV guy work on something. But this one is completely, the light comes on, but it's not doing anything anymore. So I don't know what that's about. And I was aiming straight at it. They said it's an ID10T problem. And if you are a tech guy, you'll know what that means. If you write out ID10T, does everyone know what that is? It spells idiot, yeah. So if a tech guy says, well, this looks like an ID10T problem, now you know what they're talking about. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be dismissed. We're going to praise our Father, our Heavenly Father, what an awesome God and Dad He is to us. Father, we thank You this day. We thank You for your just unmerited and just Your blessing that, Father, You just so abundantly pour out on us. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ and for the blood of the cross that lets us come in and pray to You and lift up holy hands to our Holy Father. Father, if there's someone here today or watching at home or in the future, Father, that doesn't know You, let them just now just cry out to You, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Something so simple. The word is in our hearts, that's in our mouth, Father. Just let them believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that You are Lord, Father, and they will be saved. Father, as our folks come forward for prayer today, Father, if there's anyone here that has a burden, let them just put it here at the altar and lay it down. Father, let us cast our cares on You and let You deal with them, that we might just go in and enjoy the joy of our salvation this day. Father, we thank You for our fathers. We thank You for Father's Day. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.